Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 116 of Comic Timing. And I'm here from Brooklyn, and Brent's there from Orlando, and he's getting ready to get married.
Getting ready.
Woohoo.
Putting together favor boxes as we speak.
Nice, nice. Can't wait, huh?
You know how it is. You know how it is. Hey, I'm getting out of cleaning by podcasting.
Nice.
So I figured I'd sacrifice and help out.
Oh, cool. Great. So now Mandy can clean me later.
Because I heard marriage is all about compromise.
Oh, yeah. You're going to say sacrifice.
Sacrifice. I don't know what I was going to say.
Sacrifice or compromise is close enough. It's close enough.
Yeah. Sacrifice. Swear to me.
But, yeah, welcome to your last... So am I going to woo you as a co-host now that you're married?
I guess there's only one way to find out.
Yeah, all right. We shall see. Well, worst comes to worst, I'll put out a call, and I'm sure Daryl will show up every episode anyway, even if I don't officially name him as co-host.
Well, worst comes to worst, you still have all those Geek Speak Report audition episodes to try out other co-hosts.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just go back and listen to them, and don't try and do that again.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm more thinking. I mean, come on, you've been living with Mandy for a little while now, and we've still managed to record every now and then. So if we can record every couple of weeks, I think you can manage that.
I think once everything dies down, mm-hmm. we should be able to get at least two a month. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. And that's the closest thing to what we've been doing for the past couple of years anyway. So if we get two out a month, we can satisfy the sponsor and we can satisfy the listeners. I think that's perfectly okay.
Yeah, it's okay with me.
Mm-hmm. So any tips for me going down to Orlando that I should know about?
Just listen to the first 15 minutes we spent on this call. Listen to the back half, people.
Yeah, which I'm sure you'll leave in because this is you editing, so you just put the straight like talk directly into the back, which is fine by me, mind you, because that just gives me the listeners more things.
We didn't diss nobody.
No, that's true. We were actually pretty clean this time around. That's good. So review corner this time of a bunch of books. We got, let's see, how many are in my hand right now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 books from August until now. One book I didn't read, that's Haunt. So if you want
to have 10.
Oh, you got 10?
Well, I have Thor in here too.
Yeah, all right. So there you go. Well, if you want to tell the listeners about Thor and Haunt just to roll it out, because I didn't actually order the Matt Fraction issue of Thor. I'm deciding to wait it on trade for that. And the issue that we originally picked turned out to be a Kieran Gillen issue because they pushed back Matt Fraction an extra 2 months. I did read the Kieran Gillen issue, and it was good. It's just, it was a natural jumping off point for me once Kieran Gillen was done to just switch the trades for that.
Yeah.
That's probably
the hell thing that he did, mm-hmm. that was an okay story arc where I think he was really good was tying up Straczynski stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That stuff was pretty excellent.
No, I went back.
It's probably not going to get collected together.
That would suck. Yeah. If they don't wind up collecting all of his stuff. Yeah.
No, I mean, they're doing it. I think they just released a solicit for Straczynski Omnibus,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to throw in the Gillen stuff that finishes the story.
Well, that'll be a separate trade, I guess.
Big epic finale was not a
not an epic finale, right? Yeah, well, that's the problem with most of Straczynski's stuff. I mean, even when he's not rushed off of books, he doesn't actually finish well.
Well, seems to be a complaint of a lot of writers, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But, okay, yeah. So let's get into Thor
mm-hmm.
real quick. These are all going to be speeding bullet style, so we're stealing that from Raging Bullets really quick.
Yeah.
So Thor, it is Matt Fraction, Pasquale Ferry, Matt Hollingsworth on colors. And I think, as usual, they're going straight from Ferry's pencils, which, I mean, okay, so Ferry, I'm kind of mixed on him.
Mm-hmm.
He can do really good stuff. But other times I just find him kind of lackluster, like he's almost doing like unfinished pencils.
Right. Mm-hmm. So sort of the same problems that Eaglesham has sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
But the stuff in here I thought was pretty excellent.
Okay.
Didn't really have any issues or qualms with the art.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes maybe the thing that I didn't like about Ferry was that the Civil War issue he did with the Sentry.
Uh-huh.
God rest his soul. And it was a lot of like open lines and you know, big colors and stuff. Whereas here, and I'm sure Hollingsworth is like his go-to guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more tightened up, I guess you would say.
That's good.
a lot less abstract. And I'm not an actual abstract person by any means, so the art quality is good. I think this is more lines of the Planet Heist stuff you did on for DC.
Mm-hmm. How does it compare to the previous look for Thor? I mean, it was pretty consistent there for a while.
It's totally different. I mean, if you go back and look at, I mean, it's kind of got the same. I mean, if you were to call Olivier Coipel, he's not a realist by any means. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's pretty detailed when he does stuff, but he's got much more of an anime flair. But he's not a realist like, you know, Braithwaite or Brian Hitch, right. You know. Mm-hmm. Like, Braithwaite was doing some covers and stuff, and he did some of the Gillen issues, and he was really, like, you know, Braithwaite's, like, realistic. Like, that's the guy Alex Ross paints over. If he's going to paint over anybody for a long issue time, that's the guy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the guy you want working with you. But, you know, but if you were to go from Coipel to this, I think it'd be a pretty good transition.
All right.
You know, because Thor still has that same strong jaw, short, you know, short head look. Fairy's not mixing up the design of the character or anything like that.
That's
so
good.
Sticking pretty closely to what's been done before. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say that he skimps out on a lot is like the little details, like the chain mail.
Right.
Or the scale mail, whatever Thor has on. Mm-hmm. It's not detailed by any means.
Yeah. And I much prefer the current look to his previous look. I mean, like the old school classic one, because this feels a lot more like something that a Viking would wear.
Yes, I would say that, you know, sorry, Jack Kirby, but Coipel did a bang-up job fixing these guys.
Yeah, which it pissed me off a little bit that in the new Avengers cartoon, they chose the old look, even though in the movie, they chose the new look.
Well, yeah, I guess the movie's kind of a mix, but no, I don't know.
It's pretty close to Coipel.
Pretty good mix. Pretty as close to Coipel, you're right.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess the biggest issue is the scale mail. He's right. Got that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, what this story arc is about so far is that it starts out with this guy talking, and he's basically talking to Volstagg, I'll give it away, mm-hmm. about what happens when, because I guess if you were to think about the universe as a bunch of cups,
yeah,
and then one cup is Asgard, it's filled with water, and then you pour the water out, mm-hmm. well, each cup has to be filled, so what goes in the empty cup?
Right.
So what's going in the empty cup? There's this force from another dimension or something like that that's attacking this elven world on one of the other branches of Yggdrasil, mm-hmm. the world tree in the Norse myths. Okay. And they're pretty much like the big bad for this arc. But they're pretty badass. When you go on to read like the second issue and stuff like that, they're pretty badass. So it's a pretty cool story. Pick it up and trade. At least try it out.
Yeah, no, I'm looking to.
You know, it's Fraction, and Fraction has been kicking ass on Iron Man for, mm-hmm. you know, 2 years straight.
Right.
So, give him the benefit of the doubt on Thor, definitely.
Well, he did good Thor for those one shots that he did too.
Yes, by far, and that's what drew me to this too. Is those one shots with Patrick Zercher and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Rain and Blood and Ages of Thunder. I think the trade is called. Pick uh-huh. those up too, because those are excellent, excellent.
Now, does this storyline? I don't know if you're reading Avengers. What is it? Avengers Prime. Bendis's okay side thing, because. That also has something a little bit to do with what happens when Asgard is no longer at the top of the totem pole when it comes to like the other realms.
Beats me.
Yeah.
This flowed pretty good from the last Hell storyline. I mean, you could pretty much go from the end of the Siege issues of Thor mm-hmm. into this one pretty seamlessly.
Okay.
I would say that the Hell issues that Kieran Gillen did, they were good. You know, they weren't terrible by any means.
But they were fill-ins.
But there were fill-ins, and there wasn't much to move along the saga of Asgard and Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So just put it that way.
All right, cool. Well, I'll definitely pick it up and trade at some point, because I like 50% off deals, and I'm sure there probably will be one eventually.
Yeah, or dollar issues.
That's true. Yeah, actually, well, I'm more thinking towards trades, because like I've said on previous episodes, eventually I'm going to be sleeping on comic books if I continue to buy them.
Yeah, I'm thinking that way too. Any stuff now, maybe trades.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So
Haunt
number 7. This is the first issue I've ever read of Haunt. Mm-hmm. This is Kirkman, McFarlane, and Greg Capullo.
Okay.
Capullo. Mm-hmm. And I like Greg Capullo from the Spawn collections that they did way back in the day. Now they're doing like they're re-releasing them as Spawn Origins. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty sure I will never get back up to where I left off on Volume 6, which is like issue 120 or 150 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Hold on, my dog is locked out in the room. He's sad. Aww. Aww. See if I can... Sad puppy. That's right, go bother your mommy.
See, this is good. Now we add a CGS element to the show with a dog.
That's right. Yeah. Get Baxter.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's two brothers. One is alive and one is dead. And the dead one is kind of haunting the other brother, who happens to be a priest.
Okay.
And he's not a celibate priest by any means.
Ayo.
There's weapons involved and a magic symbiote type thing.
Okay.
It's Venom. It's kind of like Venom meets Firestorm.
All right. So it's more Venom meets Firestorm and less Venom meets Brother Voodoo?
I guess it's closer to Brother Voodoo in that other guy's dead.
All right, I gotcha.
But I got a very Firestorm feel from these two dudes, you know? Cool. I guess at least recently, like, they're arguing kind of like they are in Brightest Day right now.
Right, I gotcha. Okay.
Two guys of the same age, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you see the dead brother, he's not like a ghost or an ethereal form. He's just kind of there. They don't draw him or color him any differently than any other people in it.
Hmm. Okay.
And like any other image book, all the ads are in the back, which I'm starting to like.
Yes.
Wish other people did this way, but you know, it was a actually it was $2.99. So hey.
Yeah, Dynamite does that. I mean, Dynamite puts out their books
all,
for.
It seems like a lot of the independent books we've read do that.
Yeah, in fact, actually, now that I think about it, Dark Horse does it when they put ads in. IDW does it, and Image does it, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But, so Greg Capullo is on art, McFarlane is on inks, I'm assuming. Yeah, inks.
Yeah.
Pencils, Capullo. And Greg Capullo he's still a good artist, but this is not the stuff he was doing in Spawn 10 years ago, I guess.
Well, 10 years art styles.
It's a long time.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, I guess that's what I had read more recently, and to see this, it's kind of more Wills Portacio-ish right now.
Hmm.
You know, like Wills is kind of pencily and scratchy.
Right.
Capullo moved in that direction.
Okay.
Rather than the super tight, you know, inky stuff he was doing in Spawn.
Well, do you think that McFarlane's inks might actually be part of that?
They might.
All right.
They might. But I can't remember if he was inking the Otley stuff. I want to say he was inking the Otley stuff, and that was tight, too.
Okay. Hmm. I don't know. Well,
Wait. Well, I don't know. Capullo was doing layouts for the first arc, and Otley did it over him. So maybe okay. Otley. No, never mind. So, yeah, it could be that, too. All right. Who knows?
Well, how about the story?
This first, actually, is so long ago, I don't remember that much of it.
Well, but was it good
wasn't an independent book that I wanted to throw away.
Well, that's good. That doesn't happen very often with you.
Yes.
Well, did it feel like a typical Kirkman book? Or did
it wasn't an issue number one of a licensed comic, which is everything you pick.
Not everything.
Come on, go back and look. Every independent book.
Since when is Morning Glory's licensed?
Okay. It wasn't. Caped wasn't either, but you know, still.
Yeah.
Caped was awesome. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I see a decent, you know, deal on a trade, I might pick up the first volume and check it out.
Okay.
Get the origin.
But does it feel more like a McFarlane book, or does it feel like more like a Kirkman book?
It feels like Spawn.
Okay.
I mean, it's got that kind of same vibe. I mean, it's really hyper violent. There's kind of he's not a hero, but he's not an anti-hero kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hero with issues, I guess.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, that does sound nice. I mean, it is, you know, buried in one of my short boxes, and I'm sure I'll get to it eventually. But yeah, all right, that works for me. Good enough. See, my problem is I was never much of a McFarlane fan, like even back when his art was coming out regular. So that's kind of why like I was like cautiously optimistic about Haunt, because. Yeah, I like Kirkman, but not so much on the art side.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the Jim Lee stuff is going to look like when he comes back to Dark Knight, Batman and Robin or something.
Ooh, I'm less than cautiously optimistic, actually.
I hope it's the same, because I thought the stuff he was doing on All-Star was great.
Yeah, No, it was nice. I mean, it was the reason to pick up the book, because Frank Miller was impossible to read.
Well, if you read them all together, it makes it a little bit better.
Yeah.
And right. if you go, this is the Dark Knight universe, it helps a lot. Seriously. It does.
Yeah. All right.
And I think a lot of people were thinking this is going to be like the definitive Batman story, kind of like All-Star Superman was kicking ass at that time.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't. So. No.
Well, that's not what it set out to be at first. Whoever was thinking that was just wrong.
And we will never see All-Star Wonder Woman or Batgirl.
Nope. Well, we might see All-Star Wonder Woman, but it might be like 10 years down the road.
Yeah, might be.
All right. Let's roll to Freedom Fighters.
Freedom Fighters.
Because this was one that I was looking forward to, because I'm a huge Palmiotti and Gray fan, and it's been a while since I've read one of their books, really. I mean, I've read Palmiotti, I've read Gray, but together, it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good art as well on this one. The art by Travis Moore and Trevor Scott on inks. Very, very pretty book, and I love the colors in this as well. Very vibrant and very superhero-y, but also a little bit of a realistic tone to it. I was a fan of Freedom Fighters before in the miniseries. I'm happy to see that there's an ongoing. It's yet another book that I'm not going to be picking up in singles per se, but I'm certainly going to be continuing in trade once it comes out, because this story had me. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
The art kind of reminded me of Nicola Scott in a way, like the faces, I guess.
I could see that, yeah.
Look like Nicola Scott. Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't read a lot of her. I just kind of read I have the Titans book. I didn't read that yet, but I guess the only stuff I've read of hers was maybe one Birds of Prey issue and the Blackest Night Wonder Woman stuff.
Right.
That's about it, so.
You weren't reading, you weren't reading regular Wonder Woman. Right?
I was. Oh, she did a little bit on there.
Yeah, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did the Green Lantern arc.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and the issue itself, now, I don't know if you're reading, you're not reading the Marvel Cosmic stuff, so you don't know what's going on there with the Thanos Imperative and all that, right?
Fuck no.
Okay, because I think, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but Palmiotti and Gray totally do a riff on what's going on there, because the whole plot of that is that there's a
tentacle porn too?
Sort of close to it, yeah. There's this giant like rift in space time and realities in Marvel right now, and and out from the other side comes this alternate reality where all of the heroes basically got taken over by these cancer gods, and they're looking to expand into our universe.
You mean kind of like Starro?
kind of a little bit, but more cancer and less giant starfish.
Okay. Like crab?
Yeah.
Like
the whole point of like crabs. Jesus fucking Christ.
Cancer like the constellation, like crabs?
No. These are more like octopi and stuff like that. But no, I mean the whole point of the Marvel thing is that they actually wound up destroying the death entity so that no one can die, and that allowed these cancer gods to basically take over. But
is that the Thanos Imperative or is that War of Kings?
That's Thanos Imperative. War of Kings is long gone already. That was Vulcan versus Black Bolt.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and you know that didn't turn out very well for either one of them. But I'm not going to spoil anything. Here we do have a space battle going on with this, you know, cancerous entity, and I like the shift in the battles. Where, you know, Human Bomb is trying to take out this asteroid that's going to affect, well, not affect, but hit the Earth, while Ray and, I always forget her name. It's not Shadowless, it's... Phantom Lady, there you go. Well, Phantom Lady are taking on the cancerous thing.
I think she looks like Katy Perry now.
She always kind of did, though. So I think Katy Perry looks like her. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
But, and they wound up switching off because it makes more sense for Phantom Lady to steer the asteroid away while Human Bomb just explodes and gets cancer guts all over the place. That was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And
that'd be this would make Armageddon a lot shorter movie.
I agree. Yeah. Although, they'd have to play the Aerosmith song really, really fast.
We make that song 10 times better.
Don't want to close my eyes, don't want to fall asleep.
The punk version.
Yeah, Red Hot Chili Peppers sing "I Don't Want to Miss a Thing." But yeah, no, the overall story I like a lot. I did enjoy the emotion felt when Uncle Sam experiences the death of that entire town, because he is tied to the U.S. as a whole. So when people die, he feels it, and this entire town got wiped out by this cancerous entity. So that he felt pain, and then later on with the whole missing vice president thing, and we get a mystery a la a Nicolas Cage movie for a hidden treasure or whatever that they have to.
I bet those guys will appear in the next Ghost Rider movie.
Whoa, do you like Italian?
Put the monkey back on.
That's a different universe, though. That's Marvel DC. I don't know if they could really cross them over, but what'd you think of the whole WMD for the Confederate Army?
Honestly, this was like a month ago. Well, I don't remember.
Well, they found this. That was the whole thing. They found this this old like artifact paper that said that the Confederacy had this weapon that was going to change the face of the Civil War, but they wound up getting stopped and basically dismantling the weapon. That's what they're looking for here. They're looking for the pieces of this weapon.
Coming back to me.
Right, in the issue itself. And that's what leads them on their treasure hunt type thing. And it's the type of story that is just like typical superhero fun. You know, like it's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's not trying to, give you something that you may have never experienced before. It's just these are superheroes and they're gonna do their superhero thing. Like the only additional like thing you might have never seen before is, yeah, introducing frickin' weapons of mass destruction into as far back as Civil War times. But this was like a mystical weapon. This wasn't like mechanical.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, overall, I enjoyed it. I mean, I'd give it a 4 out of 5, and I'm curious to see where the rest of it's going to go.
Cool. It wasn't terrible when I thought it was red, so I guess 3. All right. I'll give it a 3.
That'll work.
Now, Firebrand, he appeared in Battle for Bloodhaven the first time?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Because that's kind of where this revival got started.
Right, yeah.
Of the Freedom Fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that...
Terrible as that was.
The good thing about that is that, yeah, it did lead into the 2 Freedom Fighter miniseries after that. And I read both of them. They were both a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. That reintroduced the Ray, the current Ray, the previous Ray, into the Freedom Fighters, which was nice.
The Joe Quesada Ray.
Yes, the Joe Quesada Ray. The one that used to work at a fast food restaurant. Yes.
Ray. Yeah. Yo, Ray, what's up, boy?
Yo, brother. Yeah, no, it's... This is the type of DC
not
book...
Not Jamie Foxx Ray?
No, fuck no. This is the type of DC book I want to read. You know, there's a bunch of weird crap going on in the DC universe right now that's sort of turning me off to it, but this is the sort of book that makes me happy. So that I'm going to definitely pick it up and trade, and I'd recommend you guys pick it up too if you get a chance. All right, you can go next. What do you got?
Let's go to True Blood.
Okay.
My favorite show ever.
A trip into bon ton.
A trip into bon ton. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I watch it. I own both seasons. It's a damn good show. I watched all the third, and third was thankfully much better than the second.
Yeah, if you're looking at True Blood like a chick show,
mm-hmm.
I haven't seen Vampire Diaries, so I can't speak for that, but it's definitely no Twilight.
No, no, hell no, hell no.
There is cursing, there is spanking, there is fucking, there's gore.
It's
there's
an HBO
blood,
show, man.
There's violence.
Yeah.
Yes, it's HBO all the way, mm-hmm. Pressing all the buttons.
Hell yeah.
And the characters in the show are fantastic.
Yes, yes.
So definitely. If you have not checked it out, definitely go rent it from Blockbuster if that's what you want to do before you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But you will be hooked getting into the first season. You will be hooked.
Yes, and I mean, I was hooked from the first as well. The first season is a lot closer to the books than, subsequent seasons, but... it doesn't matter if you've read the books or not. You're probably going to enjoy the show.
Yeah, I have not read the books, but me and Mandy are enjoying the hell out of that show.
Yeah, so am I. And before we get into this, one of my giant pet peeves is that for some reason, retailers think that because True Blood is so amazing that they can charge like $15 for a first printing of this first issue.
I saw that.
Yeah. Like what the hell, man? I mean, I know True Blood is amazing and everything, but I didn't see anything about, like, reorders necessary or anything like that. I mean, there might have been a second printing, but it didn't, like, chart the, like top the charts or anything. It was just another book. But, oh well, whatever.
They're not doing that for Angel.
No, hell no. Hell no, please. Yeah. Although, it is nice that Angel's going back into the Dark Horse fold, meaning it'll actually maybe be a good comic again. We shall see. So what'd you think?
I thought for any of the licensed property books we have read, this had the best art. The best art, hands down. And, I mean, there were weaknesses.
A little heavy on the light box.
But the likenesses, I thought, were pretty outstanding.
Yeah, no, I liked the likenesses. Don't get me wrong. It's just exactly what I just said, a little heavy on the white box. Like, there were some scenes that you could tell that he just, like, paused his DVD, took a snapshot, and then immediately brought it into Photoshop for a white box. You know, like the art style in this reminded me at times of a Scanner Darkly. You know, like it looked like it was just, like, actual actors in an animation style, like less comic book art and more like fluid animation, only this is like stills instead. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, it did work for the title at least.
One thing I didn't really like was the Cthulhu guy. I mean, the tentacles and stuff. I thought that was a little bit of a departure from what's been established in the show.
Yeah, didn't he walk out of a Spider-Man book?
Yeah. It's Doc Ock with real tentacles, I guess. So.
Well, hey. It reminded me of that, like, that spider-like guy that was in it, like, a couple of issues ago. With, like, the detachable jaw and everything.
Oh, can't remember that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if that was Straczynski or if that was later on, but I definitely remember like one that, like a villain that was, oh, you know what, the new Vulture.
Freak? Vulture.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the new Vulture has this same like detachable jaw type thing.
You're right. Yeah. And the kind of same kind of like cloak on him.
Yeah, right. I like the story in this at least. I mean, it felt like the characters. You know?
Yeah, it did. I thought the writing was really good, but what I can't figure out is if Alan Ball has something to do with the writing or what. Probably just the outline.
I definitely outline. Yeah. I mean, this is like when you see Joss Whedon's name on something and you see another writer directly after it.
Well, I mean, you look at the credits in the back, like the creator biographies, and there's like 6 people on the book.
Mm-hmm.
Not 3. Not 4. 6.
Right.
So I'm guessing 3 of them are writers.
Yeah, well, let's see. On the front cover, it's a story by Alan Ball with Kate Barno and Elizabeth Finch.
Oh, hey, I was right.
Yeah, and then
written by.
Yeah, and then written by. So, yeah, I guess actual writers of True Blood made the story, and then the actual script was written by other people.
By IDW people.
Yeah. Huh. And you know, I know it's a True Blood story. I know you're trying to get something that feels like it's HBO, but those curses were in there for the hell of it. Like, they didn't seem to add anything to the story at all.
Nah, I don't think so either.
I don't know. I mean, it is exactly what you said. This was one of the better licensed stories that we've read so far. It's just, I have no reason to pick up any of the other books after this.
I mean, it's just any old day.
Mm-hmm.
If I could say that 10 more times, I would. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the True Blood universe, there's nothing to connect to, you know, any of the villains in any of the seasons. It's not like the backstory of, you know, the murderer in the first season or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it doesn't really add any value to you if you're a fan of the series, other than it's another story in the True Blood universe.
Yeah.
I think you get more enjoyment out of actually reading the books.
Oh, yeah.
Than reading this thing.
Right. And I watched the show to watch Jason Stackhouse be stupid, and I didn't see any of that in this.
I watched the show to watch Anna Paquin get naked. So. And yeah, there's plenty of that, just not in this book.
Gee, I am so surprised by your shocking explanation of what.
Hey, I'll take her gap tooth mouth any day of the week.
She got titties.
And that's the last time I can say this.
Oh, come on.
I'm going to make full use of it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Because Mandy is going to take away every single bit of testosterone from your body, obviously.
She may be listening.
Oh, God. 2 out of 5. It's serviceable, but it's not anything I'll read again.
I'll agree with you there.
Yeah. All right. You want to stay licensed, or you want to go back to DC?
Let's go back to DC, because by the end of it, we'll be all DC. All
right. Legion of Superheroes.
Okay.
Okay. Well, this was written by Paul Levitz, his return to the writer's chair after being in charge of DC for a while as Mr. Publisher. And now he's back just writing, because they don't want him anymore. Vitare Sanar is the artist in this. Not a name I've heard before.
I think it's Yildare.
Oh, it is Yildare? Oh, that's a Y. That's a Y. Wow, okay.
Look at the inside cover, or the first page.
Yeah, bad font on that opening cover. Yeah, right, there we go. Yildare Sanar and Wayne Faucher on inks with Sal Cipriano on letters. And who the hell's the colorist? There we go. Hi-Fi is the color. Okay. And this was a lot closer to Geoff Johns than Jim Shooter, which was nice when it comes to Legion. This was in line with previous Legion of Superhero stories that have been coming out the past couple of years.
Yeah, the only Legion I've read was the Geoff Johns stuff. That's it. I mean, in Action Comics and Legion of Three Worlds, and that's about it. And whatever backups they had in Adventure Comics for a couple months.
Right.
So,
and those were also written by Levitz.
The backups were?
No.
He took over Adventure as time travel, or, you know, in the past, previous adventures of Legion.
Right.
Right after he took over this.
I got you.
Which I was kind of like, what?
Yeah, no, I kind of dropped Adventure Comics the minute it went to just Legion, because I had no reason to read it anymore.
I did as well. I thought they should have kept it a Superboy book.
I agree.
Honestly.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Because now they're launching another Superboy book. I mean, yes, okay, now he has his name on the cover, but, I mean, I don't know. I didn't understand why they thought that was so crucial for him to have his name on the book when it was selling so good. And
they wanted
they'd put another quality team on it after Geoff Johns. I think maybe that was it. They didn't want to follow Geoff Johns up with anybody. I mean, no offense to Jeff Lemire. Mm-hmm. I'm sure his book will be very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not going to read it because I'm kind of burned out that had to, you know, change the format of the book.
No, it makes sense. I'm gonna pick up the first couple issues because I'm a Superboy fan and have been for years, and it'd be nice to actually see a good Superboy book for the first time in a while. Other than Adventure Comics, that is.
I thought that the tandem thing they had going on was working pretty good, though.
I liked it too. Yeah. In fact,
Superboy and the Legion kind of in tandem, co-feature backup, whatever.
Right.
I was enjoying that part of it.
Well, I mean, they seem to be getting rid of co-features almost entirely now with DC, now that they're moving back to the $2.99 thing.
They are, which sucks because the Jimmy Olsen one is kind of entertaining.
I like it a lot, yeah. Yeah, I've been very surprised by that, and that's by Mr. Morning Glories himself.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's nice. That's good. Legion, very serviceable art. The impossible to pronounce Sinar is doing a good job. It's typical superhero art, really. Like, I mean, nothing really stands out about it, but it's not bad.
It's like kind of like the DC style.
Yeah, it's the house style, right? Mm-hmm. Especially within line with like, not quite the Ivan Reyeses of the world, but Ivan Rices of the world, however you pronounce his name. I'm going to mispronounce everybody's name on this episode, I have a feeling. But yeah, it's you're right. It is very DC house style. And the story is compelling. We do have the return of the Green Lanterns in the Legion universe, so let's see how that's going to turn out. What'd you think of that, like, green alien thingy?
The green alien thingy. What issue are they on currently, do you know?
What, Legion of Superheroes?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. The green thing is the one that they
Right, giving the rings back from, Sodom Yet?
Yeah, the thing that looks like a flying turd.
That's right. He's kind of funny.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the Earthman thing, so.
Neither did I.
I don't know where that went, but, Well, I thought it was very interesting that the biggest ass. Well, I guess goes in, you know, goes with the Guy Gardner kind of thing. Biggest asshole on the planet.
Well, I guess, but I mean, I guess they're saying that he has the most willpower out of anybody in the area. Is that it?
I guess he's the most fearless because right now he probably doesn't care.
Right.
About anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got the least amount of fear of anybody around. So
yeah, and the thing is with that Green Lantern ring on, it cancels out any of the restrictions that they gave him with the Legion ring. So they're gonna have some trouble unless he comes around. Saturn Girl story is pretty cool.
I didn't know she had kids. She looks like 25 to me.
Yeah,
she has 7-year-olds.
Oh, well, that's the weird thing about Legion of Superheroes, man. It's that, like, they can't seem to decide what age everybody is.
Yeah.
Well, because is she married to Ultra Boy? Is that what that is?
I don't even know if they Ultra Boy's kids. I have no clue. The thing that burned me on this was that they didn't do a very good job of explaining these kids.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, even though they're in for 2 pages and they kind of look like they die.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing I didn't miss, though, was, like, I don't know, they kind of did that. The Saturn Girl, I mean, the Ultra, like, the labels of powers and names and shit.
Mm-hmm.
That I felt like they kind of toned that down from the Geoff Johns or Legion of Three Worlds. It was, like, everywhere.
Oh, but
it's like on every single 2-page spread or something.
Oh, but isn't it so great when Matt Fraction just does that in Uncanny X-Men, like every 8 seconds?
I'm not reading that book, so you say so.
Yeah, he's like even happier about it than Geoff Johns. I mean, he's got to let everybody know what everybody is.
Well,
yeah.
I would say if you enjoyed the Johns stuff, and you kind of want to continue seeing where that overall adult Legion kind of story goes,
mm-hmm.
I think it follows on with it pretty good.
Well,
I'm kind of wondering if Levitt's, you know, if he's gonna like fall into line with what's going on or kind of make it his own.
I think they're letting him make it his own because I think that was sort of like part of the agreement. Like you step down and then we just give you Legion and you can do whatever you want with it.
Now, have you read any previous Levitt stuff?
Yeah, actually, I read his JSA one year later stuff.
Okay, well, I mean, any previous Legion stuff he did?
Any previous Legion stuff?
I mean, remember
stuff,
when we did the Mark Waid came back to Flash and was like, you can't go home again?
Right.
Do we have the same issue here?
I have not read any of his previous Legion stuff. I have not read much Legion in my life other than Mark Waid's Legion. And a little bit of Abnett and Lanning stuff from before the relaunch with Mark Waid. So I'm not very familiar with his Legion at all. This is very serviceable, though. I didn't see any... like any hint of I need to make this like ultra compelling in order for people to believe that I'm not just treading on my previous stuff. This was just a good superhero romp.
I was surprised it didn't feel like Levitz had lost his touch.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, he's been publisher for like what, 20 years, close mm-hmm. to 15, whatever. And maybe 25. I don't even know.
Well, I
long time.
Well, he was, yeah, he's been in ever since like the late 80s, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. It felt like he was pretty in touch with what the writing style is, and some old writer came back to comics for
Jim Shooter. Like, yeah.
Not that. No, some other. It was something else. Maybe it's like a one-shot or something like that, and it was like, dude, okay, it's not the 19. Well, okay, anytime Stan Lee writes anything.
Oh, my God, yeah. Those one-page backups.
Yeah, skip those in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I'm glad that Paul Cornell and Mark Waid are going to be mostly writing the Boom stuff. Because that'll help rein Stan Lee in a little bit, I have a feeling. With this, it didn't suffer from that at all. You all right? What's up? You there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, wrong way.
That was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
He didn't suffer from any of the problems that people who come back to comics did. So this was job well done for Paul Levitz. 3 out of 5, perfectly serviceable. Yet I say again, Mark Waid's Legion was my Legion. So Other than the Geoff Johns stuff, and the Justice League of America stuff with Lightning Saga, I kind of don't really have much of an attachment to this Legion, so I think I'm just going to let it slide.
Your Legion is dead.
Yeah.
It's dead, I tell you, dead!
It's sad. But yeah, 3 out of 5, good enough.
Cool.
You?
Yeah, 2.5, I guess. Cool. 3, whatever. Move along.
Okay.
Gotta get through these suckers.
Alright, onward to, Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Alright, now did you watch the movies before this?
I think I've seen Wrath of Khan once.
Okay.
I've never seen that episode that precedes this book.
Well, that's fine, because they do a good job of explaining it in the book itself.
They kind of do, but, yeah. Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, didn't really enjoy this one.
Eh. Which is weird, because what a shock. I actually kind of didn't mind it that much. Yeah. What didn't you like about it?
I guess it's the unfamiliarity. I mean, ruling in hell, they stranded them on a planet. They get started living on a planet. That was the whole first issue of this, and they kind of recap what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Big fucking deal. Hey, whatever. And the sun collapses or something at the end.
Yeah.
Hey, big fucking deal.
Well,
okay.
It was a little frustrating to have the, yay, everything's great, everything's going to be amazing, and then the very last page, things go to shit.
It's like, we're about to have sex. What?
Yeah, that was, I will agree that was a little bit weird.
I was like, can you have sex? And ended it on that cliffhanger.
Great. Well, and the writers, Scott and David Tipton, have just done mostly Star Trek stuff. Like, I mean, they're not, like, a name that you would know outside of the Star Trek universe. They've written a couple books, they've done a couple comics. It's nothing really that special. But the art I liked a lot.
The art was okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny that the Tipton guys had to put Tipton, Mantovani.
Yeah.
Like, really? You couldn't just put Tipton?
Well, it's like a law firm, you know? Hertzberg, and Schlegel, you know?
Tipton, and Mantovani.
Yes, exactly. They're going to open up a law firm in Boston, and they'll have James Spader as a part of it.
Hey, we're Tipton and Tipton.
Hey!
Welcome to Boston.
Yeah. The likenesses in this were pretty good, but not...
Was there any likeness other than Khan? I guess there's a little bit of Spock, or the Enterprise guys, but... I mean, any extended likenesses, like the girl who's like his wife or something, was there a likeness there, or was it probably just some random dude?
Well, she was the girl of the week on that particular Star Trek episode, and yeah, she did look like her, so that was good. Just really, I was just happy that they were actually managing to have expressions on people's faces and not make it look, you know, stilted, like it was, you know, coming off of a Photoshop image or anything. You know, these were
was this less lightboxed than the...
This was definitely less lightboxed, yes. I would say that. Most of the art here was actually drawn by hand. You could tell. My main problems with the book is that sometimes the coloring could be a little bit better, because it really didn't look like she was wearing clothes a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, I think some of that was the art. I didn't understand cross strip stripe bandage she was wearing.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, and yeah, some of the art, sometimes the colors were a little bit murky, but it mostly got the job done. I was mostly satisfied with it. And just to summarize the story, exactly what we said, it's the bridge gapper between the episode of the original series and Star Trek II. This is what happens to Khan on the planet. We get to see them be left there. A couple months go by. They start a civilization for themselves, and then the sun explodes.
It ain't lost. That's for damn sure.
It most certainly ain't. Yeah, even if they are fighting something that looks like it might be a monster from Lost. At one point. Yeah. 3 out of 5 for me, and actually one of the things that I enjoyed about this as well was the back pages with the Spike comic book. Because that actually kind of looked kind of cool, and I might pick that up and trade eventually.
I didn't even get there.
Well, what's funny about it is that Spike implies that Twilight was based on him.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, 3 out of 5.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm. You?
1.5.
All right. Hey, that's better than a 0. I'll take it. All right, what's next?
Emerald Warriors.
Okay.
Okay.
It's more Peter Tomasi.
Peter Tomasi, who is, I like him a lot.
As do I.
And Fernando Pessarin.
Yeah, which is really pretty.
Yeah, he's excellent. I was afraid when they announced that he was leaving Green Lantern Corps. I thought that book, you know, because Peter Tomasi really strengthened that book a lot.
Yes.
I thought after Gibbons left, I didn't think Gibbons did much with it.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest,
okay.
I really didn't like the Gibbons stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of ho-hum for me.
Yeah.
But once Tomasi jumped on after Sinestro Corps, boom, that book was off like a firecracker.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see what he does on Batman and Robin's. Just I'm not going to count on it coming out next month because, yet again, I'm glad we didn't pick that for a book here.
Yeah, I came close delayed. To doing it, but I had a feeling. Shit. I had a feeling because he was doing Brightest Day at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we got Tomasi Pessarin, who, after he did Brightest Day Zero, I was wondering if he's going to do some of that, but he's not doing any at all, so
mm-hmm.
okay with me.
Well, but he needed to do this, and this is good. More important.
This is more high profile, I think, for him.
You have the right to scream as loud as you want while I kick your ass.
Yeah, Guy Gardner is definitely Tomasi's, like, character. He definitely made me like Guy Gardner.
Oh, hells yeah. I mean, I'm a Kyle guy, and I like Guy as much as I like Kyle right now. Which
exactly.
Yeah.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the overall story? I mean,
well, the thing that pisses me off is that we got that big tease at the end of, well, I guess, Green Lantern Corps, whatever that last issue was, when mm-hmm. these guys left, about the deal with Atrocitus.
Right.
And we're like 3 or 4 issues in, and we still don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that irks me the most, is that the driving force for this book is still not yet revealed. I mean, come on, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's kind of disappointing for me. That's the biggest thing.
It's a slow build, and that's exactly what Green Lantern does.
Yes, it is, but at least give me a little bit, you know?
No, I get you. I get you. I could use a little bit more explanation and a little bit less filler myself.
I mean, I think they kind of... I can't remember. Let me flip through it. But they kind of harken back to it a little bit in this book, but not a whole lot. You know, he dispatches Bleeze. I'm most interested on why he thinks that him and Hal Jordan will never be friends again. And if he does, he's going to have to kill him or something if they get in the way.
I think it's because of what happened in Blackest Night.
What happened that... Because he was a Red Lantern?
Yeah, kind of.
Why would that piss off Hal Jordan?
I don't know. It
wasn't his fault.
Oh, wait a minute. I think it might actually be the...
I think it has something to do with this deal.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
It's this deal, and I think it's also partially that Gardner was willing to kill people when the Guardians unlocked the ability to do so.
Well, the fuck not. You're a cop.
Yeah, I know. But Hal is a pussy. We know that about him. But it is mostly the deal. Because Hal doesn't like that at all, I'm sure. Then again, he's palling around with
Warface. He finds out about it.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this book was the wall of Atrocitus people skulls.
Oh, my God.
With the sharp teeth and stuff. Man, that would be scary to walk up on that.
Mm-hmm.
See all these dead people with sharp teeth. I'd be like, "Oh, who got them?" Because that's got to be pretty bad.
And I like his Red Lantern chick too.
Yeah, Bleeze. She's pretty cool.
Yeah,
except she's just like the whole time, and even in further issues. But I that was interesting because it's like an effect of the ring, though.
Right.
And only I think it's, the way it seems is like only Atrocitus has full control mm-hmm. over the ring's power. And every other Red Lantern is all, like, rage-filled, like, you know, like a crazy cat.
Right.
And then I think she gets around the Blue Lantern in subsequent issues, and she kind of calms down and can speak regular sentences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And in the most recent issue, we are getting closer to, you know, an actual reveal of what's going on, because in one of the most recent issues, just to spoil that a little bit, you know, we do find that something is sapping Green Lantern energy, because even when around a Blue Lantern... They're not going above 99%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting the first time. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
Now these guys, like this purple dude at the end, he's got these Green Lanterns serving him. Is that the guy from like the first three issues of Green Lantern Corps? Is that the same race of people? Remember who Serenic Natu, she was a princess from that planet. It looks similar.
You know, it might be. However, this is the unknown sector.
Yes, that's my only stipulation.
Right. I don't know. They might just be similar looking. Because did they have Green Lanterns serving them in?
No, they worshipped them.
Okay. All right.
They held it in, like, high regard to be a Green Lantern.
Right. It might be, but I think this might just be a different race that looks a little similar.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
I like the fact that they're sticking with Guy not being a Red Lantern.
Yes.
Because, you know, the blood dripping from his nose and the Red Lantern symbol in his eyes in this, I think was really subtle and, you know, proof that he does actually still need to get that out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And in subsequent issues, they go into that a little bit further. But no, this was a great setup issue. And if you guys haven't picked it up and are waiting for trade on this, pick it up because it's been great so far. And very, very Tomasi Green Lantern. You know, it's a continuation of Tomasi's story. You know, so if you dropped Green Lantern Corps when Bedard came on, this is going to give you more of that story. So. That makes me happy. 4 out of 5.
Cool. I'll agree.
Mm-hmm. Are you reading Core still, or did you drop it?
Yes, I'm still reading it, and the Weaponer issue that just came out was pretty good. I enjoyed that immensely.
Good. I'll have to read that, because the Cyborg Superman arc I was a little bit eh on, mostly because it was Cyborg Superman again.
Yeah, again.
Yeah. Keeps showing up, goddammit.
Damn it.
Motherfucker. All right. Morning Glories, number one.
Wow, this motherfucker was thick.
Yes, it was, and...
Holy cow.
Ooh, I fucking love this book, man.
It was good. I was so surprised. I was like, hey.
Hey, well, Image has been hyping the shit out of this, so if it was bad, they were going to look like they had egg on their face like nobody's business.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, the ads coming up to it and the orders were huge. This book sold out all over the place. It's one of their best sellers since Chew. And that's continued on to issue 3. Like, it's still actually doing really good for them, and I'm glad. Nick Spencer, I wasn't very familiar with his work until this, and then he was on the Jimmy Olsen backup, and I like that too. I'm following him wherever he goes now, man. This is looking good. Yeah. Well, I mean, what did you think? I mean, for a guy who doesn't read a lot of indies, I mean, was this a compelling story for you?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. It was just, you know, one thing to another. I thought the main characters were the people in the beginning, and then they die a couple pages in.
Right.
And then you meet the new set of characters, and I thought the intro to each one of them was, you know, gave you a real good sense of who they were.
Oh, yeah. The limo ride, too, was nice.
When it got to the point where the girl calls her mom, and the mom's like, you know, I don't remember, or they're the dad, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know who you're talking about. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of different.
Yeah.
Now there's something going up, and especially with the last page.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So.
And just like, I mean, with the last page, yeah, but...
But I don't know how you could continue to go to school there after you see something like that.
Ooh, this... You'll see. I mean, subsequent issues are going to get really, really fucking weird, man. Like, in a good way. I mean, they're continuing along this because, like... I mean, for one thing, there is no way out of this school. That they've established that. Once you're there, you don't go back. And in the second issue, they go into that a little bit further where... It's either you go by the rules of the headmistress or you die. You know, there is no back to normal civilization because your parents don't remember who you are. Your friends aren't going to remember who you are. You're just out of it. You're in the school. No ifs, ands, or buts, or you don't live anymore. So what would you do in that situation? You'd live, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So there you go. You like the art as much as I did?
It was good in places, and then other places I thought it was eh, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It had its strong moments and weak moments for me.
The action scenes was better than the slow scenes.
Actually, I'm looking at the first couple pages, and the students are running down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty flat.
Yeah, really?
On that one to me, yeah. I think it got better as the issue went on. I think the beginning was just a kind of a little meh for me, but...
I could see that.
Yeah. I don't know. Certainly different. I guess I'm used to, like, you know, thinking Image and Ryan Otley and stuff like that, and he's just a badass.
Right.
So...
Yeah. And I'm also liking that this is yet another book with teenagers that feel like teenagers, that look like teenagers, and pretty much act like teenagers. You know, like, unlike a bunch of other books out there, like New Warriors, for example. Even New Warriors, when that was coming out for Marvel, and New Mutants, where they're supposed to be teens, but they sure as hell don't act like them. This is nice and there. Sort of reminded me a little bit of what Adam and Comfort are doing on Uniques.
Oh. Actually, I've only seen their prints, so I can't say that I've read their sequential stuff.
Okay, that's fine.
But I would say that looking at the prints, I would assume that their stuff is a little bit more stronger than this. I mean, this is kind of...
Well, I was more thinking writing-wise and less on the art.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I mean, their art styles are a little... are definitely different, but they draw realistic looking teens like these guys managed to draw realistic teens, so that was nice for me.
I guess the biggest thing for me is that this art style, I mean, there's nothing that stands out to it really.
Mm-hmm.
And in some points it kind of looks a little bit amateurish.
All right.
Like the guy can draw some sequentials, he can do backgrounds, but as far as like character design and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and his inking is inconsistent from page to page, I thought.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, it's just starting out, so I'll give him the pass on that. But yeah.
I mean I do prefer the art in Invincible and the art in Chew over the art in this. But really as long as you give me art that can tell a story, I can let the flaws slide. And the story is compelling me here, so I'm going to continue reading it. I've picked up issue 2. I tracked it down because it was sold out at Jim Hanley's and at Midtown, so I had to first order it from somewhere else. And issue 3 I got from DCBS, and now I'm continuing it on from there. So I'll be in it for the long term. 4 out of 5.
Well, yeah, I'll give it a 4.2.
All right, cool. Awesome. Are you going to track it down in trades eventually? Or?
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps.
Cool. Cool. It's nice that I picked one that you like for once.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. All right.
Wolverine.
Okay.
We'll get to the useless books next. I'm sorry. I was digging where Weapon X was going until they got to, I forget what it was. Insane in the Brain was kind of weird. It didn't really go anywhere.
Was that before or after Garney stopped?
After.
Okay. All right.
It was the second arc, and then I forget what the third one was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he goes to hell for no apparent reason, and they restart the book with the same damn writer, and it's like, and the same girlfriend. It's like, why did you bother to stop?
Yeah,
why not just take off the Weapon X?
Yeah, and that pissed me off because I.
We're only 16 issues in. Six fucking teen. I mean, whatever.
I had stopped reading Weapon X after the Garney issues, and then I picked this up, and I have no idea what the hell's going on. All of a sudden,
I don't either, and I read the entire Weapon X run.
Well, and Jason Aaron, I love you, man, but you are a chatty Cathy in this book.
Yeah.
I mean, he has enough words on the pages. Not that I don't like reading or anything. It's just for the amount of story that's being told in this, it felt like there were double the amount of words that needed to be there than were actually there per page.
Mm-hmm.
It was I like the Mystique stuff. That was pretty cool.
That was good. Excellent.
Yeah.
And the other Garney stuff was excellent.
Oh.
Weapon X, the first arc, was pretty good. But right. After that, it fell away from the Weapon X. I think that's what it lost.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Insane in the Brain and whatever the third one arc was, and you lost Maverick,
mm-hmm.
the yellow-faced dude, or like a Chinese guy or something. I don't know what the fuck he was. But he was in that first arc, and he was like the villain in it, or like a secret villain, and then they totally lost that. They never went back to him. They kept this girl around, and you know, and changed the name of the book.
Yeah. Well, and
back to what it was originally.
I mean, Wraith is in this, not Wrath. Wraith.
Was he in X-Men books before?
Yeah, he was. Well, he was in the movie. He was in X2. Sorry, not X2. In Wolverine.
Was he in the comics?
Yes, he was. Yeah.
He was?
Yeah, he's been a member of Weapon X before.
Okay, I did not know that. I thought he was a movie creation.
No, he wasn't. He just hasn't been used very much over the years.
Okay.
You know, he is a Wolverine character, but like most Wolverine characters, they show up once and you don't see him for a while, then all of a sudden they're back and everybody celebrates it.
Yeah, kind of like the Maverick thing.
Right, exactly.
Oh, Maverick, he was in it for 2 seconds with Jim Lee.
Hey, man, he had a book back in the 2000s. Didn't last very long. Didn't Maverick die of cancer? I thought he died of cancer.
I don't know, dude.
I
love for you, Renato Guedes.
Uh-huh.
Just not on Wolverine. I missed him on Superman.
Yeah.
He was excellent on Superman. He was doing good when he was doing the Mon-El stuff for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left and then was doing backups in Supergirl. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And now to Wolverine, which, I mean, you draw a nice Wolverine, it's just you're too... He's too clean. I mean, I picture him as a up and away type thing. Well, like, Renato Guedes, I would never want him to draw Batman.
Right.
I would never want him to draw Wolverine because right. his art style is so clean and so like not shadowy at all.
Give him Iron Man.
Iron Man would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, even though I like LaRocca on it now.
Well, so do I. Yeah, except for Sawyer face.
I just don't think he can do dark stuff.
My best comparison for this. It reminded me a little bit of Sean Chen
mm-hmm.
in the art, and sometimes Sean Chen works really well on Wolverine, other times not so much, and that's the feeling that I got from this. Certain pages worked for me, certain pages didn't.
You know what? The shot of Mystique on the bike,
uh-huh.
does that look like Terry Dodson to you, or is it just me?
It does, yeah. It does a lot. And that might be the colors also. Just because, or you know, whoever was over Guedes on this issue, just might have just been adding their own like little finesse touches to it. But yeah, that was very Dotson-esque. And you know, of course, it's the shot of Mystique's ass more than anything else.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's not that bad. I like the backup with Silver Samurai better than I like the actual issue.
I did too, instantly enough, and I don't care about Silver Samurai.
Neither do I. Yeah.
But he's carving up a bunch of people, so hey. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of Samurai Jack.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And plus, this was like the first time we've seen Silver Samurai since he was in New Avengers like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, did 2.5, because I had no idea that Wolverine had gotten Lois Lane. And now that I know that he did, I don't know if he really needs one.
Yeah, she's fish bait.
Yeah, come on. And she works for the San Francisco Post.
She's a reporter. Yeah, right.
So yeah, 2.5. It's not that bad, but I'm not picking up any more of it.
I only ordered the first issue. I was like, you know what? You're going to screw me like this. Forget
you. Yeah. You know, I finally dropped Deadpool.
Did you?
Yeah.
I never read Deadpool.
It was... I
dropped it from the first issue because I never picked it.
Nice. Well, it was fun for a while. And
he's got 6 books now, so what is what?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's exactly why I stopped picking it up, because like it felt like even the regular book was losing its like coherence
mm-hmm.
because they were spreading them out all over the place. I didn't even care anymore. So yeah, with this month, I finally dropped Deadpool. Took me forever.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel like a better man. All right, so yeah, onward to the preachy.
Superman.
Yeah, to the book that, has a reason, has a purpose. It's supposed to bring Superman back to his roots. It's supposed to no bullshit. It, This book was
the
so
idea is dumb as fuck.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well. All right. No.
There's no overarching plot. There's no overarching villain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's issue after issue after issue. We've only had three so far, but of just Superman solving other people's problems.
Yeah.
Seriously?
And, well,
that's your big idea, JMS?
This issue reminds me of when Supergirl tried to cure cancer.
I hope the Earth One hardcover is much better than this.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I picked it up, and, I haven't read it yet. All I know is that Shane Davis drew Lois Lane to look like Dexter's sister from Dexter.
Hey, I'm not complaining. I love her.
Yeah. She's a looker, and she's married.
She's a dirty potty mouth.
And she's married to her brother. Go figure.
Go figure. Look that one up, people. Look that one up.
Oh boy. Eddie Barros is on art. Eddie Barros is nice.
He's nice. I like the stuff on Teen Titans. I like the stuff on War of the Superman.
Yeah.
He's a good action guy.
Yeah.
It just sucks that he's on this walkabout story arc.
Yeah, because
he's good at drawing things that splinter and blow up and dynamic poses. I mean, he's a good like pinup guy, I guess.
He's good at facial expressions.
Good at facial expressions as well. He's not strong where he's, you know, walking around. It's just boring to look at.
Well,
for anybody.
All right. No,
if Jim Lee were doing this, this would still be boring.
Oh, totally. Well, I didn't like Lee and Azzarello's arc because of that.
This is very similar to that feel, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure 10 years down the line, Sean and Jim will review this arc and love it. So, hey,
I'm sure they're probably reviewing it right now and saying how amazing it is with Tish.
Yes.
But yeah, it's for those of you who don't know, we'll explain it real quick. Superman has decided to get back to his roots by walking across the country.
After being a year away.
Yeah, after
like,
being...
why not just stop being Superman?
Right.
Oh, wait, we've done that.
Yeah.
Forgot.
No, here's my favorite part, okay? In 700, you read 700, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like, hey, Lois, love you.
Yeah.
See you, bye.
It's like, in 700...
I haven't seen you in a year or slept with you or given you any quality time, much less taking you out for dinner, but, you know, I have to do this.
I hope this isn't you in a few years, man. You know, like, I really hope that it's not like, yeah, say, I'm back from work. Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm gonna go walk across the country. I'll see you later.
Is this JMS's solution? Is this what he wanted to do with Spider-Man? Rather than have them be one more day?
He's gonna swing across the country. That's what Spider-Man's gonna do. He's just gonna be on one web line all across the country.
He's gonna spider hop across the country.
Spider hop
and just get away from Mary Jane for a while.
Gonna drive the spider buggy across the country.
Needs to get away. You know
why doesn't Superman get a super buggy? Because I'm sure his legs are tired by now. it's so heavy-handed and preachy.
It is. Even the second issue was like that.
Second issue got me to stop reading it.
Did it?
Yeah. No.
And they're already on a fill-in. I have the fill-in yet to read, and I was like, well, come on, people. Superman, do we really need a fill-in?
No.
And I like that they're putting out a monthly, trying to get a book out there every month, but things just, that, you know, this does not deserve a fill-in of Lois Lane trying to figure out what her fuck her husband's doing.
It's like, hey, Lois, where's Clark?
What's your husband doing? He ditched me, that rat bastard.
He's on walkabout, literally.
And is anyone else not feeling the John Cassaday covers?
I am not feeling it at all, actually.
I have not been feeling John Cassaday on these covers or anything he's done recently, really.
I haven't liked John Cassaday since Astonishing X-Men.
I don't know what he's doing. What is he?
He's phoning
it in. How
does
he make
a
living on these covers?
I mean, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a really cool dude in real life. I've met him a couple times. Really, really nice. And I like a lot of the art that he's done in the past. It's just these feel exactly what we just said, that it's phoning it in, that he's taking a paycheck.
Oh, no, this one totally is. Look, it's a big Superman symbol with Superman as big as my thumb on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you put a lot of fucking time and work into that.
And
oh,
white space.
What are we going to put behind the Superman symbol to kind of, let's put people's faces, because it's America.
Yeah, and guess what?
Let's make sure we throw an Indian and a black person in there, and then everybody else is white.
Hasn't George Perez done the faces cover enough times where nobody else needs to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, if I could give this thing a -3, I would. But I'm just going to give it a 1 because the art was pretty.
I just feel bad for Eddie Barrows that this is his introduction to a lot of readers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a big shot, big right. time, working with a big time writer, he's got to do this.
Yeah,
because
when he was working with Rucka on the Nightwing and Flamebird stuff for a little while.
That was fantastic what he was doing on there.
Yeah. I mean,
he jumped off, I guess, to do War of the Supermen.
And then he did Blackest Night Superman.
Yeah, okay, and that was good, too,
yeah.
with Robinson.
Yeah, and isn't it great how James Robinson is so consistent? You know how one issue he's on, it's wow, that's really really great. And the next issue, it's like, oh, this is the bad Robinson. Okay,
oh, yeah. I think he's the perfect example of you can't go home again. There's no replicating Starman.
Still reading the Starman Omnibus, man. Really loving it as it goes on.
Are you really?
Yeah.
I haven't picked it up yet.
I have all five that have come out so far.
Cool.
And what I like is that the sixth is actually going to include the Blackest Night Starman issue.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be the last issue in the book, because that's technically the last issue of Starman that ever came out. Cool. So, yeah, one out of five. Don't pick it up if you like reading books that have action and you don't want to fall asleep halfway through reading something.
Well, I have one more thing.
Okay.
I was in the shop looking. I picked up I was reading the Batman Long Road Home, I guess, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah.
Read the first issue, read the second one, and it goes continued in something I didn't order.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of continued, kind of not. The Vicki Vale stories where you lose a lot of major gaps, that's what's continuing across them.
Right.
So anyway, I was picking up some of those, and I saw Soldier Zero from Boom.
Okay.
One of these Stan Lee concepts written by Paul Cornell and Javier Pina is mm-hmm. the artist. And I would say it's Blue Beetle meets Mantis, the TV show.
Okay.
The guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? He was on Alias for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that a long time ago. So it's Blue Beetle meets that. Like okay. Blue Beetle as in Jaime Reyes. God rest his soul. He will never be as cool again as he was when he had a series, but kind of thing.
Don't say God rest his soul because it sounds like they killed him off, all right? Don't do that.
They canceled his book for no reason.
Yeah, but he's still around at least, even though he's not in Teen Titans anymore. Okay, so he's not around.
All that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He's in Generation Lost, I guess. Maybe they'll stick him on Freedom Fighters. Yeah. Wow, what a great place for a cool character.
Whoop-de-poop. Anyway.
All right, so Suit falls to Earth. It's Green Lantern, Hal Jordan meets Blue Beetle with the suit, meets Mantis with the guy in the wheelchair. Because there's an alien in the suit, he meets up with the guy in the wheelchair mm-hmm. as he falls to Earth and is like, help me! And then the suit kind of takes over, the guy goes berserk, and the suit speaks a different language than the dude.
Okay.
And, you know, not dissimilar to Blue Beetle at the very beginning, and it kind of, that's the first issue.
All right.
But I really like, there's some really good moments in here that Paul Cornell did with the guy, you know, how he lost his legs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the, you know, first parts of the issue, he's trying to hook up with the girl, and there's some awkward moments and funny moments in here about, you know, how does a guy in a wheelchair do it, or date, or, you know, what's he capable of doing,
yeah.
that kind of stuff. So it was a pretty good read. So I would say definitely check out the first issue, the Javier Pina art. Actually, he filled in for Eddie Barrows on the Nightwing and Flamebird stuff, I thought.
Yes, he did.
After he left. So, mm-hmm. funnily enough, he does a bang-up job here. Pretty good stuff. So,
all right.
So, judging on this, I'm looking forward to The Traveler when that comes out next month.
Yeah, so so am I. And I love Paul Cornell. The Action Comics stuff, man, you know.
Yes, that's excellent.
I fucking love that also. What's great is that I never would have thought that they would have been able to keep up for this long a book without Superman. And they just keep doing it.
Right.
You know, they keep reinventing the wheel, and I'm adoring it. My favorite part is definitely that Lois Lane robot.
Yeah.
how that's the thing that's supposed to keep them in check. And the most recent issues with Grodd have been great. It's been a really good surprise.
Oh, wait till you get to the death issue. Oh my gosh.
Oh, nice.
Really good. That was good. And I don't even know who she was as a character.
But... You know that was co-written
from
by
Sandman.
That was co-written by Neil Gaiman.
Was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't see that.
It only gave him a special thanks, but it was basically co-written by Neil Gaiman.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
He wrote most of Death's dialogue.
Huh.
Yeah. And actually,
I thought that was so cool.
Oh yeah. one final one for me too before I read this email from Jim Dietz on the Alan Moore episode that we did. I picked up and read Kick-Ass 2, Balls to the Wall.
Oh, I have that in my pile still. Yeah. How was it?
So good.
So good?
Oh my God, yes. It is a perfect continuation of the comic book.
See, because I didn't like the comic that much. I thought the movie was much better.
Well, this is going to pick up on the comic book to the point where you're just going to, like, say to yourself, I can't wait for the movie. Like, mm-hmm. this felt more in tone to me to the movie than it did to the comic book. Even though it's still playing off of, you know, the comic book universe where, there are the differences where, he didn't get the girl and the difference in Big Daddy, but Big Daddy is dead like he was in the movie. That's no big shock there. But it's the beginning of Mindy's life with her new father and her mother, who is still alive in the comic, and she's doing her best not to be a hit girl in order for her mother to really form a bond with Mindy because she hasn't seen her in so long. So you've got that going on. While on the side, Mindy is training Kick-Ass to actually be a good fighter. And yeah, and this series is basically going to introduce a superhero team into this universe, and that might not be a good thing from the looks of this first issue, because these guys look like they might not be nearly as pure of heart as Kick-Ass is. So this is going to be interesting. And best of all, John Romita Jr. only does breakdowns in this, so the faces look like normal human beings.
What?
Yeah.
Breakdowns only?
He does breakdowns, but it's finished by, I think, Palmer is the name of the anchor?
Yeah.
And
well, is he just doing breakdowns in Avengers now, too, after issue 6? He might be.
I'm not sure. I think he might be doing a full pencil still in Avengers, but don't quote me on that.
You'd think that they would just take their time on it or something.
Yeah.
But I guess not.
Well, either way, it is.
But
nice.
John Romita Jr., I thought he was, the bang-out guy. Give him a book in a month and he can bang it out.
He
can't. You can't wait a little bit to do this?
No, I guess not. Well, Miller wanted it out as fast as possible so he could start working on Kick-Ass 2.
I understand, but...
Yeah.
Well, if I were the comic book creator and this is my co-creation, I would not want to be just doing breakdowns on it. Sorry.
No, I agree. However...
I'd be giving that book my all and just go to breakdowns on Marvel.
However, maybe. I'll say again, Jim Palmer actually makes the faces look like normal human beings, and that's fine by me.
That's what I like about John Romita.
What, you like the square jaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's interesting. It's different. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't remember.
It depends on the person for me, really.
Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, no, it's definitely good. You'll enjoy it when you read it.
Cool. Can I bitch about one thing before you read that email?
Go ahead.
Okay, whatever happened to delaying comic book news at least until the end of the day when people actually go out to get their books? I'm talking specifically about Bruce Wayne.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It was like 12:30 when it was up on Newsarama.
Oh, boy.
12:30. Has anybody in the comic book reading public gone and gotten their books at 12:30? Probably not.
Well, you know what we can thank
I know
for
we're
this?
In a different thing, and I know this is, knowing that, I order my books, I don't try to consciously avoid any spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I try to avoid the details and stuff like that, but big moments usually I try not to get too miffed about it.
Yeah,
but this thing, I was at work, I think was probably the problem, is I was checking it
right
every 30 minutes or whatever, and just because there wasn't much going on at that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was on this site, and it was on another site, and it was on another site, and it was like by 3:30 it was on every comic book site in my favorites.
Well,
and I was like, who's had the chance to go read this book other than people that work for these?
No, what's even worse than that is DC putting out the Batman The Return books before The Return of Bruce Wayne is even finished.
Yeah, that's another thing that irks me. I mean, it's kind of like syncing up right now towards the end, because I think Return of Bruce Wayne comes out next week.
Okay.
But I don't know what happened in Batman and Robin 16, and I don't know if it has an effect on Return of Bruce Wayne. Yeah. It kind of seems to me like they're kind of connected, but not really.
Yeah, and that's really like making skittish.
It's like you don't need to read Return of Bruce Wayne at all.
All right, well, that's fine. Well, I mean, I only picked up the Batgirl and the Red Robin because I know that that's actually going to continue their stories. There we go. The Road Home. Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're right. Return of Bruce Wayne. I don't know. Did I pre-order that? I don't even know if I did. Yeah, I think I'm skipping it. Because, I figured, yeah, he's back. Whatever.
Huh.
You know? Like, what am I going to need to know other than Batman and Robin?
I'm having a hard time following Return of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, my bad. I did, yeah. Well, because the last issue that came out was the one that was issue 5, so, right?
Yeah. The detective one. Okay. Which was really good. That was interesting.
Yeah.
But the two before that, the cowboy one and what was the other one before that? It was kind of lost.
Yeah. And the end of issue 5 was just like, what?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, just, I do agree with you, though, that at least, like, put spoiler tags on before you start talking about it at 12:30 in the frickin' afternoon when people haven't had a chance.
Well, the biggest thing is that they're not just, I thought, you know, they could at least just put the cover up on there. No, they had to put this fucking last page on as, like, the image banner for every link to the story.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well, now I'm intrigued because you show me the image, whereas if it wasn't, then it would have been like, you know what, just hold off 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Do your best. But, you know, you put the image up there, it's like...
Well, you know what we have to blame? Spider-Man getting unmasked.
It does, yeah, really.
Yeah, because...
And Captain America dying.
Yeah, right, because immediately EW had the story up.
But this isn't news like that, though. I don't think it is. It's a story point. It's not a big attention grab. It's not like anything like Spider-Man or Captain America.
There was an Associated Press article about this.
About, it's not news.
Yeah,
didn't we just have elections like 2 days ago?
Yeah, I guess it's a slow news day now. Now that the election's over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It doesn't make any sense to me either that. Yeah, Bruce Wayne is franchising. He didn't reveal to the world that he's Batman. He just revealed, apparently, that he backs Batman. That's it. And, like, so he's eventually going to get bought out by Tony Stark. Whatever.
No, I didn't think that was a huge deal. I'm backing Batman.
Yeah.
Like, why is that the...
Well, the big deal is that he's franchising Batman. That's the big deal.
But we knew that before because you knew the premise of Batman Incorporated.
Right. It's called Batman Inc.
Whatever.
It's just, I don't know.
That just irked me. Not that it was out the day of, I'm used to that, but the fact that it was like 12:30, 3:30, it's all over the place, I was irked. Like, I could see everybody getting ruined by
I feel
that.
You.
Walking
I
in the store, knowing the big bang in the book, really.
I feel you, man. I feel you the exact same way. And
I wonder what Grant Morrison's like, you know, you're killing my buzz here, kind of thing.
Grant Morrison's shining his head right now. He doesn't really care. All right. Well, the email. Yeah. Speaking of Grant Morrison, let's talk Alan Moore. Jim Dietz, a response to our amazing Alan Moore debate, which I really enjoyed. I am usually busier than a one-legged man at an ass-kicking contest. Ass-kicking contest contest is even better. Ass-kicking contest. So I don't get to write emails to you, or all the other fine podcasts I listen to on a regular basis. I spend a lot of time cooking and listening to podcasts. But your recent episode about Alan Moore reminded me of a very relevant story that sums up how I feel about the situation in a metaphorical nutshell. I don't recall you touching on this, but as I am listening while I work, you may have, and I might have missed it. Mea culpa if this is the case. The great author Raymond Chandler was once interviewed in his home by a literary magazine late in his life. The interviewer asked Chandler how he felt about movies and television ruining his books. Chandler turned to look at his works collected on the shelf behind him and replied, "No, they're still here." The point is a Watchmen sequel, however unnecessary I may deem it, or indeed how Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons deem it, doesn't ultimately matter. Watchmen the book still exists on its own as an entity unto itself apart from whatever adaptions or continuations are spun from it, and the reader's enjoyment of that book, whether a new or returning reader, isn't affected by that. Personally, I wish Moore and Gibbons would have done a sequel to Watchmen back in the 80s when they were still angry young men, as opposed to angry old men, which was what they are now. Moore feeling burned by DC / Warner is a whole other issue. They kind of did him dirty as far as royalties and reprint rights, and even though it's a whole new regime at DC, I think I could understand why he would be reluctant to do any work for them. I just wish he would shut up with the metaphorical mysticism and write comics again, preferably Promethea with J.H. Williams in Top 10. P.S. It's a bit hard to find, but worth the hunt. If you ever wondered what Alan Moore would have done if he'd been assigned to write Superman, then by all means, find the two Checker Comics trades of Supreme, which collect all of Moore's Supreme stories from Image. Artists like Chris Sprouse, Rick Veitch, and Jim Starlin contribute to the run, and it's truly underrated and underread. Until the 1963 annual number one comes out, make mine comic timing or something like that. Hope Johnny M entertained you all at the New York Comic Con podcasting panel, and he did. Cheers, Jim Dietz, Legion of Dudes. Check him out at legionofdudes.com. And you know, I think Raymond Chandler had it right, man.
I agree with that. I'm not going to argue with that point.
Yeah.
They're right here. Alan Moore forgets that sometimes, I think.
Alan Moore forgets a lot of things. Well, I think Alan Moore gets more involved with his opinions and less so on the fact that his books came out.
I am good at comics, me. Whatever, fuck you.
Yeah, well, they should take Alan Moore's beard and put it on Grant Morrison's head. That way Grant Morrison has hair. But and I do agree that Alan Moore should just write more Top 10, because Top 10 was freaking awesome. Love that comic. So, yeah, there we go. Jim Dietz with a rare email into comic timing, and definitely check out Legion of Dudes. We're going to try and get a crossover with them at some point, as it's amazing that we haven't yet, and I like Johnny M and Jim and all those guys over at Legion of Dudes, and we're probably going to have a Raging Bullets crossover also once Batman Inc. and Dark Knight come out. That will be to be determined as we got to try and figure out the details. And, of course, they're going to be delayed because they're David Finch and Grant Morrison books. So once they eventually come out, we'll touch on them in the show. That work?
It works for me.
All right. So any final words, Mr. Cassina, before you leave us for the world of Marriage Life?
I don't.
I'm disappointed. Well, I'll see you in a few days.
Yes, you shall.
Yeah, and I'll enjoy resort life.
And definitely let me know, send me your itinerary, because I guess Wednesday afternoon is looking pretty good if you need a cab driver for me.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Like I said, we're landing around like 3:30. So once that happens, it'll be nice to. Well, first, see you for the first time in, like, a year and a half.
Yeah, it has been that long. Yeah. Wow.
And after that, yeah. So, yeah, we'll figure it all out, and there will be more comic timing. Don't worry, it's not going to disappear. For one thing, you'll probably hear Brent again, because we still have in the can that goddamn Batman Red Hood.
We're one movie behind now.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and I like the Apocalypse, by the way. Just to say that real quick, I actually was at the premiere here in New York, and I dug it a lot. It was fun.
Cool.
Much better than the first Superman Batman.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Whoa! Public Enemies was good, man.
I like Public. No, dude, trust me. I like Public Enemies. Apocalypse is better.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'll say it. I'll say it right there. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Did you like the Michael Turner art?
I did like the Michael Turner art because it wasn't entirely Michael Turner art, and that's what made it good. They did more of like an anime infusion mm-hmm. with Michael Turner's art, and my only problem with it was the size of Batman's ears. They looked like they could probably skewer beef.
And poke your eye out.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, eventually that episode will be released. You'll hear Juan on it, and be reminded that he exists, even though he was on the New York Comic Con episode, which maybe Brent listened to, but I don't know if he did. The interviews. Did you? No?
I figured. No.
No. Oh, well.
I looked at who you interviewed and went, eh, don't care.
Yay!
Sorry. I mean, I do that with any interviews, with the CGS, with any any interviews.
I gotcha.
Mass cons, shit like that.
That's fine. That's fine. All right. Well, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. Graciously hosted by Comic Geek Speak, guys, over at comicgeekspeak.com. And before I even continue any other word after this, Jamie D, we're thinking about you, and stay well.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah. We're also proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Graciously appreciated. And if you want to send us a shout-out at any point, you can either email us, like I said, at comictiming@gmail.com or shoot me a voicemail on Skype. My name is Scary Monkey Show, like what Gurr likes to watch on Zim. So for Mr. Cassina, I am unanimously reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics. Surprised myself from being able to find that. You there? Yeah.
Alright, I found Emerald Warriors. That's found Super 701.
Okay, good.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Did we do Haunt, Legion, and Jurassic Park?
We did Jurassic Park. Did we do Legion? Trying to remember.
I don't think we did.
No. All right. Well.
And did we do Haunt?
Yeah. I don't know if I ever even read Haunt. We could skip Haunt for now. And Legion I read, but I. Wait, did we do it? Shit.
How do you want me to tie these? An example in here. Oh, we got your robes. Mandy says thank you.
You're welcome.
They fit really good. We really warm last night.
Good, I'm glad. Yeah, well,
double knot.
I figured I'd go for something that you guys would actually use.
Oh, I remember doing Jurassic Park now. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't done a review corner since August 21st.
I know. So I'm thinking like Speeding Bullet style.
Yeah. Yeah, that's more like it. Hold on one second. Fuck it. I'll find Legion. I think I know where it is.
Okay.
It on the way over to Green Lantern, so. Alright, good. Got it. Alright, so I have all of them. I think it's very disturbing that out of all the books that we're supposed to be reading, I only have one Marvel in my hand.
What?
Wolverine, that's it.
Oh, Thor?
Thor,
the Fraction Thor?
Thor didn't count. Oh. No. Remember that got resolicited?
I know. Hey, this work?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read the Kieran Gillen issue, and I thought it was alright, but I don't think it's
really going to warrant, you know, talking about it too much, right?
No, I meant the, oh, okay, the next one. See, I'm tying bows while I'm doing this.
Yeah, okay.
Shiny side out. Can't forget that. Crucial detail.
Yes, of course. After all, how would people see the shiny side if it's shiny side down?
Okay, so do you want to do Fraction Thor?
I didn't order it, so no.
You didn't order it?
I didn't order it, no.
Dude, it's good.
I know it's probably good, but I had to do a culling. So,
I'm like 2 issues in. I did a culling too.
Yeah. I managed to get my order down to about $40 less than it was. So that's,
really?
Yeah, and it's getting smaller because I'm liking less and less books, and it's helping out.
I cut out JSA, cut those.
Same here.
I probably should cut JLA.
I cut out both JLA and JSA. I stopped reading Wonder Woman. I stopped reading Superman.
Brave and the Bold I cut, because that's late.
Brave and the Bold I stopped reading years ago, so that didn't even need to be cut for me. I'm trying to think.
You didn't pick up any of the Straczynski stuff?
Didn't pick up any of the Straczynski. Well, I picked up a couple issues, but I never got to it, because it just wound up getting lost in my pile, so I didn't even bother. I'm trying to think what else I've cut. Well, basically, like, half of my DC books I cut. I'm not very happy with them right now.
I'm not ordering, like, any Marvel books right now.
Well, there you go. All right. Yeah, see, I'm ordering Marvel books, but due to their own volition, I'm ordering $3.99 books, but not buying any ancillary books.
The only Marvel books I'm getting is, like, Avengers, Cap, Secret Warriors, S.H.I.E.L.D., and Spider-Man.
Yeah. Let's see.
What else? I think that's in Thor.
Okay.
That is it.
Wow.
Iron Man. That's it.
Yeah. All right. See, I'm getting all those except for Thor, and I've got New Avengers and Secret Avengers in there too.
Yeah.
But Fantastic Four, I'm getting, and a bunch of other shit. But
yeah, I cut Fantastic Four. It was just not going anywhere.
Well, I'll pick up Thor in trade, or I'll read it out of the library, because the good thing about living in New York is that our libraries actually get books in.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So I mean, that's how we started reading Invincible. It's like Chris got volumes 1 through 3 out of the library, and we liked it so much that we bought the Ultimate Editions.
The Omnibus.
Yep.
Omnibuy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are really good.
Yeah.
Invincibles.
I love how the Ultimate Editions have, like, they're totally aping off the font and logo type of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's like totally blatant. All right, so what do we want to call this one? Is it 112 or 111? That's what I want to know, because I'm sorry, my bad. Like, way after that. I'm looking at the wrong page here. I guess 117. 116. We'll make it 116, because I got part 2 of 115 to still put out, which is the Eagle thing, which I'm very much considering just putting out raw, because I haven't started editing it yet.
Just do it. You're not going to have time next week.
Well, yeah, I know, but I might have to do some basic editing on it, though, because...
Oh, yeah.
Cut out the beginning and end, and there were some major bumpy rides around along the way due to, like, audio issues and people leaving the call and coming into the call. So I might just have to listen to it once through and just snip whatever needs to be snipped.
Eagle. Who was on Eagle?
It was...
Is that the New York Comic Con wrap?
Yeah, that was
the
New York Comic Con wrap. It was Lytle, Eagle, Daryl, and Rick Gordon. So I was the only white guy in the room. And Rick was only there for the first half hour. Lytle was there the entire time. Julian was there the entire time. Eagle came in a half hour in, and then Daryl came in like 20 minutes after Eagle. So it was a complete clusterfuck. We wound up talking about the con like half the time. We wound up going off on tangents like for the rest. Didn't bring up, $20 sketchbooks once, though. So that's good.
$30. Get it wrong, man. Don't get it wrong.
It's true. All right, we might have brought it up once. All right, so yeah, 116. And if I send this to you, you're going to have time to edit it? Or
I'll get it done
myself. You got it done?
I'll get it done. I'll get it done.
All right. Okay.
I'll add it to my list.
That's fine. All right.
Works. Fuck it.
Oh, also, I meant to ask. Can I just print like? Can you buy Disney tickets online and just have to print them out, or are they physical tickets?
They're physical tickets. I know you can do like a will call thing. They have will call windows that, well, at least Universal does.
All right. Okay, good. I'll have to do that because I haven't ordered my tickets yet, and you know they're not going to come to me by the time you know I leave. So, all right, I'll do will call.
All right. If not, you can do the day of. The lines aren't too terrible, so
that's fine. But
I mean, honestly, I think you guys are going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Whatever you guys decide to do. If you are you doing Animal Kingdom?
We're probably going to do Animal Kingdom as our one Disney thing. We're not going to do more than one day probably because it's way too expensive.
Yeah, for Animal Kingdom, you got to get there early to do like the ride, or at least the animal ride.
Yeah.
You got to get there at least one day early, or not early, not one day early. You gotta be there before the park opens, and then when they let you in, go straight there.
Okay.
Because that's when the animals are most active, is early in the morning and late in the evening.
Right.
Because if you go during the middle of the day, they're just going to be laying around and not doing shit.
Yeah, because it's just like being in a zoo.
Exactly.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll definitely try to get there as early as possible.
And then Universal, if you guys can do it, I'd say get the one-day two-park.
We're going to probably do that, yeah.
Because it's pretty easy to hit all the major things and do it in one day. If you're there from like opening to closing, you'd be fine.
Okay, cool. That works. Yeah, that and there's a lot of stuff at Universal that I saw the first time I was there. So So like I don't know if I have to do the Terminator 3D thing again.
Yeah. The Shrek thing is really good. That's new.
Cool.
The Rock and Roller Coaster, if that's open, do that.
Yeah, see if you wind up
the Mummy ride is good. If you guys do that on Thursday, I'll try and find a way to pop in for an hour or two, meet up with you guys. I'll do that.
That'll work, yeah, because Chris doesn't ride roller coasters, so I'll be doing most of the roller coasters myself. Yeah. I haven't been on a good roller coaster in a while, man. Holy shit.
The Rock and Roller Coaster. The Mummy's kind of like Space Mountain. Have you ever been on that?
Yeah, I've been on it.
It's indoors, no loops or anything, just a lot of twists and turns.
Nice.
So if Chris doesn't like the upside down part of it, I think she'd be okay.
Well, she gets motion sick, so.
Motion sick?
Yeah, so I don't think she's going to wind up doing that. See, like, I'm perfectly fine with roller coasters, but, like, it's the spinny rides that get me.
Oh.
Like, anything that's like, over and over again in a loop will get me all wobbly and moving.
Yeah, me too. Does she do the simulator rides?
Oh, yeah. No, she can do simulators. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because Spider-Man kind of moves you around. It's kind of a mix of a simulator and a roller coaster. It's on a track. And you kind of move from screen to screen.
Yeah, that's like what Back to the Future was.
Back to the Future's kind of stationary. You're actually moving on a track on this.
Oh, you're moving on a track. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a mix of Haunted Mansion and Back to the Future.
I gotcha. Okay.
And Harry Potter is the same way.
Mm-hmm. And what about Simpsons? Simpsons is just like...
Simpsons is Back to the Future.
Good.
All they did was change the inside, and they didn't change any mechanics of the actual thing. All
right. Fine by me.
We should probably get into this.
You know what? Well, yeah, fuck it. All right, come on, count it down.
Prince Orlando tips.
Okay, here we go. All right, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to episode 116 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast voted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levitstein, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's a review corner episode, the first one that we've recorded since frickin' August. So don't expect us to take too much time on each book, because we have a lot of them. And it's Brent's last episode single. Ha, ha, ha. Here now, Comic Timing. All right, we're out. Yeehaw. Well, that was fun. All right. An hour 48 and about 15 minutes of that is bullshit.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'll shoot you the file tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Send me the link.
Cool. I'm probably going to watch The Office or whatever before I go to sleep and then go snooze because tomorrow we're celebrating Chris's 30th. She turned the big 3-0 this past Tuesday.
Whoa.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Yeah, way.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're going to go get some Yaku...
what the hell's it called again? It's like Shabu Shabu, only it's the Japanese version. Yakuniku. There we go. Yakuniku. It's basically you dip the meat in the broth and it cooks and you eat it. So it's a lot like meat fondue.
Okay.
It's cool. And then Saturday we're gonna have people over and have a good time. All right, man. So I will see you Wednesday.
Yes, you shall.
All right. And I'll do what you said. I'll shoot you an itinerary and everything. But it is as simple as what I originally said, because I'm pretty sure we land at like 3:15, 3:20, something like that.
If you just call me when you land, I'll be there by the time you get your bag. So
awesome. That'll work.
All right,
man. See you in a bit.
Latest.